Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with him in my head 1,000 times.
Yeah, how's it go?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 20, The Longest Day. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. We'll get to this episode in just a moment, but first we want to tell you what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this episode 239 is coming Friday, May 9th. Let's watch Dan Gauthier on Friends. This is the rare guest star who had multiple episode arcs on both Starverse shows. Mm-hmm. He appeared in the Friends episode season 4, episode 2, the one with the cat on Max. We'll link it in the show notes. Join us at any level and you can hear us talking about that on Friday, May 9th.
And as promised, the April edition of Again With Them, which is for our higher rollers at the $5 level, is coming this Thursday, May 8th. We have no idea what humiliating disclosure story we'll make about her sex life this time, or what new afflictions Amy is dealing with, because we're taping this well in advance of that. But we are sure there will be plenty to discuss, and we will tell you everything you need to know and nothing more. Do not listen to them. Only listen to us. Again with this podcast.com/club.
I can report that since I wrote this this tease, I have listened to the first couple of episodes of April, and one of them is an interview with the AI quote artist unquote who made an AI video of like Beverly Hills 90210 babies, and apparently this is all he does, just does like baby versions of various characters and celebrities.
Ew.
I posted on our Discord, this is gonna jokerify me. Like, it was so enraging, and no one on the podcast was like capable of engaging with him on the level of like, do you understand what you're doing? Like, how do you, what are you? I mean, they get as far enough to be like, should we be scared? But like, you know, what's he going to say? Yes. Like, all, it's so stupid. I hate it.
I'm in danger.
Anyway. Also, reminder, we have a call-in show coming up. We're going to drop it after the season 3 finale, which is coming up. So make sure you get in your calls and messages. 210-767-2237. You can leave a voicemail or you can text us there, and we want to hear from you so that we can discuss what you want to discuss in that call-in show between season 3 and season 4. And as Sarah already said it, but I'll say it again for all the Patreon info, again with this podcast.com/club. Just one storyline this week, and really it's a third of a storyline because it keeps getting repeated over and over again. It's Cape Side Rashomon. Joey's voice asks if we've ever had one of those days we wish we could live all over again. And then we're in the marina as Andy spots Dawson and Mitch. Dawson has a bottle of champagne and Mitch has a duffel bag, which we never understand what's in it, as they walk up to greet Buzz, Jen, and others. Jack is there sometimes, but you sure never see him in a shot with anyone else. Curious. I don't think he has a line either. There's just like
no, I don't think he
shots.
Does. And that shirt looks like it might be for ladies, and someone was wearing it from like, oh, is that from the Alloy catalog? Oh, great. He got ketchup on his actual costume. Can he borrow that for 5 seconds?
Yep.
Very weird.
Anyway, Andy says she thought Joey was coming, but Dawson says she went to the library to work on their Watergate assignment. In fact, she is up to dirty tricks, furiously making out with Pacey in a shed full of boat stuff. Clip 2.
It's your boat we're planning on christening.
I own a boat?
Well, if you have to do exposition, at least make it horny. I approve.
Yeah. I mean, also, we're planning on christening. Given how many times you have to hear this dialogue in the course of the episode, it's even more noticeable that it's just like extremely stilted and formal and not how people talk.
Joey says they have to stop doing this. It's wrong. And Pacey pretends to agree while not stopping any more than she is. More horny exposition from Joey. They've been in denial all week, pretending nothing's going on while other people are around and then having embarrassing grope fests when they're alone. Pacey guesses it is embarrassing for her, given how much she protested, and then they argue about that, but not for long because they start kissing some more until he stops to say they have to tell Dawson as soon as possible. The longer they wait, the worse it gets. She claims she's tried. Clip 3.
Every time I see the guy now, I just feel
you don't have
like...
to bother filling in the expletive, okay? I mean, this isn't exactly the easiest thing I've ever had to do, Pacey. Telling Dawson that while he wasn't looking, I developed this bizarre gravitational pull towards his best friend, and I can't stop thinking about him or wanting to be near him or wanting to kiss him all the time.
I'll do it.
What?
I'll tell him.
No, I can't let you do that. This is my responsibility.
Joe, it's not your responsibility. I'm the one that started this, remember? I'm the one that got you into this situation. And frankly, the only way that I want to save my friendship with Dawson is to be completely honest with him. So I gotta do this. All I need is one day. Just one day.
One day.
Yes. One day.
I don't want to wait.
Shout out to Dave, the hero who got us versions of the show with the original theme song. Hooray for Dave.
Hooray for Dave.
After the credits were post-christening, based on Pacey hectoring Buzz about his mother being an hour late to pick him up, Doug appears to say they have a frantic message from someone named Nora who thought Pacey had Buzz for the day and is now stuck at work. Pacey tries to make Doug take Buzz since he's not working, but Doug picks up Buzz, irresistible, as we've already discussed, and hands him to Pacey. But Pacey says he has something important to do and promises to come right back when it's done. We roll into Thank You by Dido, which we're also going to hear a bunch. At the Ryan house, we gather through Grams's monologue that she's on her way out of town, leaving Jen alone, and that Jen better not fuck Henry while Grams is gone. I'm paraphrasing. Jen assures her that she will resist any sexual impulses. I think she means advances. And Grams decides to believe her and leaves. And then Jen looks across the way to Pacey, standing in Dawson's front yard with his arms crossed. They have a little banter about how easy it would be for him to walk into the Leary's unlocked house and see if Dawson's home before Jen calmly says Joey wants to be with Pacey. She told Jen so this morning. Pacey's not happy to hear that at the moment because he's about to have to walk through the front door and tell his best friend the only girl in the universe he can't live without is the one Pacey can't live without either. He's had this conversation with Dawson in his head 1,000 times. Clip 4.
Dawson's saying something along the lines of, "Vaya con Dios, Pace. I had my shot at making her happy. Now, why don't you give it a try?"
Could happen. Just minus the Spanish part.
Yeah.
Have you met Dawson, Jen? No, it couldn't. Oh, I mean, I get that this is TV and this is what it was all driving towards. But even at the time, it was like, given how much time you both spend while you're making out, talking and thinking about Dawson, like, just pull this Band-Aid off so that you can stop killing both your boners.
Yeah.
It is time. Mm-hmm. Also, we look forward to his unhappiness.
We really do.
We don't want to wait for his Buzz to be killed. Get on with it.
So then Mitch comes out with bags and boat stuff. Again, I don't know what Mitch storyline was canceled for all of this, but we never find out why he's carrying bags in every scene. But he says,
Which is fine.
He says they just missed Dawson. He was going to the library. And then we're at the surprisingly huge library in this tiny town. Oh, my God, that was a big library. It was like a university library.
Yeah.
Multi-story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's all glammed up walking toward Pacey. You were particularly into her outfit, if not her hair, in this scene.
Yes. I was. I think we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but she's just wearing like long sleeve crew neck top with a sequin. I think it's a whale or a fish of some sort. And then cargo skirt or skort, ankle socks, probably Converse. Mm-hmm. Very cute. And then her hair is this like, not even Jerry Blank. I'm trying to think of who. It's Janine Garofalo's character in Wet Hot American Summer, the movie, when she's like getting dolled up to go on the date.
With Moose?
It's just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's deranged. And it does nothing to disguise the fact that Meredith Monroe had not had a blondness touch up in, based on ring growth.
Mm-hmm.
8 months. Yeah. Just get her a highlight kit. Mm-hmm. Help her. Help her help you.
Pacey comments that Andy looks happy and she agrees that free books make her giddy. And then Will joins them. And I must ask, how far away is New Raleigh? Because if it's close enough for him to just pop over for a casual hang, why hasn't he before now? But whatever.
Yeah.
There's a manly handshake before Will checks that he will see Andy tonight. And she looks to Pacey first before confirming. And when Will has gone, she apologetically says they were going to get dinner or something. But Pacey saves her the guilt by being visibly fine with it and asks if she has seen Dawson, which she has not. And then we're at Doug's. Buzz is jumping on the bed and Doug is yelling at him about breaking the answering machine by putting gum in it. And just a reminder that while Jonathan Licknicki is the size of a 5-year-old at this point, his character is supposed to be 9. It's like, that's too old for that shit. Both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pacey returns with Pokemon cards, I guess, and catches Doug up on recent developments with Joey. Doug asks if that means Pacey told Dawson, but no, not yet. It's what Pacey's been trying to do all morning. Doug thinks that telling Dawson Pacey kissed Joey impulsively is very different from telling him they've been sneaking around behind his back. At the end of the day, Joey and Dawson will stay friends and Pacey will be alone, and Pacey's face falls because he seems to believe that is true. And then it's dark when Pacey returns to Dawson's house. He's about to walk in when Joey tears up behind him and says they can't do this. Joey has to be the one to tell Dawson or it'll ruin everything. She's breathless, so he hugs her to try to calm her down and admits that he's been chickening out all day. And Joey's expression darkens as clip 5.
Maybe it's a sign, Pacey.
A sign of what?
It's just that for so long, he's been everything to me, Pacey. I mean, this guy has been my family when I haven't had one. And he's the one person in my life that I can always depend on. And this is gonna kill him.
We can dream.
You never had any intention of telling him, did you? You didn't come over here tonight to tell him. You came here to stop me from telling
him. No, I tried to tell him. I went up there and I tried.
Of course you did. Let me guess. You failed, right?
You failed too. You've been trying for like since 2 episodes ago to tell him. Like, this is, stop putting it on her. And it's a touchy situation. Like, I empathize with how awkward it's going to be to have to tell him this because he's him and he's not going to take it well.
Like, what we're about to find out is that there is no good way to do this. Like I've been saying for 2 episodes, like just rip the band-aid off. Like I understand that it's teen soap and that's not how it's gonna work, but it's also Dawson and everything that you're dreading is gonna happen, so you may as well just like just drive straight into the median. Do it.
Yeah, well, that's about to happen. Here's clip 6.
I thought I heard something out here,
Dawson. We were just
having an argument. What about? Us, Dawson. We were arguing about us. Me and Joey, there's an us here now.
I am interested to hear your take on Vanderbeek's decisions in this iteration of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, given what he's being asked to do, which is to play it neutrally enough that you can't really tell from perspective to perspective what he does or doesn't know or what he does or doesn't feel.
Yeah.
He's not good enough to lay back in the cut and wait for the scene. Mm-hmm. He's just not good. Like, he's not bad, but he's not good enough for this. And mm-hmm. like, his nostrils are going so crazy that, like, game over.
Right.
But I'm interested to hear what you think they thought they could get out of trying to have it be ambiguous on his part.
Yeah. I mean, the structure of it means we still one more folding back. We're going to see him hear them from his room. And mm-hmm. then another fold beyond that is he finds out by other means, and we'll get to all of this. But yeah, right. I agree. Like, it's the Dawson who is established at this point after, you know, almost three full seasons is really self-involved and mm-hmm. really jealous about anyone who pays Joey any kind of attention, generally. I mean, he didn't care about AJ, but that was because he was mostly like they were siloed from each other for that part of the season.
Right.
And really, like, superior to Pacey. So I think even if we assume he doesn't know anything, we can also imagine him just coming out and being a bitch. That's just kind of how he is.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing here is that they're really, I mean, there's a lot of telegraphing of, like, guilty melted wax face and, yeah. you know, cold staring and stuff like that. But it's like, this is the single most self-involved person in the entire area code.
Mm-hmm.
Fine for them to be doing that and not think that he's going to notice, because of course he's not, but they are being extremely obvious. And it all is just so like, him, like, it's just not worth it
mm-hmm.
in the first place. But it's kind of funny to me that it's like any other character, you'd be like, oh my God, you're being so obvious. He is going to figure it out no matter what anyone does or doesn't tell him.
Yeah.
Except it's Dawson.
Yes. This is the problem with naming your show after a character. They have to be your POV person, and that skews everything else you might want to do dramatically.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the P stands for prick, and that's certainly the case right now. Good luck to all.
And then what? We're back at the top of the story with Dawson and Mitch getting to the marina. This time when Dawson mentions the Watergate assignment, we see Jen say that she finished watching All the President's Men. Dawson will come get the tape later and asks what she thought. Clip 7.
Incredible movie. But Henry didn't feel as though there were enough cute teenage girls.
I have to agree. That's why we will be talking about Dick, the 1995 film starring Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst, for our 4th of July Patreon episode this year, so get excited for that.
I mean, I know she wasn't a teenager in the movie, but extremely young Lindsay Krause looked pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
Her cowl neck and her very 70s Hamill haircut. It was cute.
Jack spots the captain of this vessel approaching and looking harried. Dawson brings Pacey the champagne as thank you starts up again, the song. Joey comes around for the other side of the building she and Pacey were just making out in, of course, wearing her clunky slides, which you can see in the visual aids. Jen gives her a knowing look. Cut to Joey standing by while Jen uses a pay telephone to tell Henry to come by around 2 when Grams will be gone. Whatever he says back is apparently scandalous, based on the way she smiles at it, and she cuts him off and says she's taking Joey to the library. Joey starts giving excuses for why she needs a lift, who says Joey doesn't have to explain unless she wants to. And as they wander back to the car, Joey resets that she and Jen have already just talked about the kiss at the sleepover a couple of episodes ago, but then tells Jen that Pacey's feelings are not unrequited. She is scared about what Dawson will do or say when he knows. And if Joey is asking Jen whether she should tell Dawson, her answer is yes. Joey says Pacey's telling Dawson today after Joey tried a bunch of times and couldn't. When they tell him, Dawson will get hurt. But if Joey tells Pacey not to tell him, Pacey will get hurt. Whatever Joey does, she's the villain, like girls always are in stories like this. And Jen reminds her mm-hmm. that those stories are usually written by men. This one isn't. It's another Gina Fattori joint. But, I mean, that part of it seems kind of beside the point. I mean, he's going to be equally bitchy to both of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, because that's how he is. As noted,
Joey wishes she were more like Jen or Pacey, who fearlessly feel things and act on them. But Jen says the fearless aren't as tough as Joey might think, and that Pacey's heart can break just like anyone else's, if not worse, since it was already broken before Pacey. And I don't know who she's referring to. Like, what's her face was seasons ago. What yeah. was her name? The teacher. Oh, my God.
Tamara.
Tamara. <That's it. laughs> I think I remember that. It's one syllable off from mine.
Tomorrow.
At the library, Joey looks down on Pacey and Andy casually chatting and then parting and sighs. And she's on the library computer upstairs when Andy joins her and tells her about the date with Will. Andy lists all his good qualities, including that he's cute. Where? The issue for her is that he's not Pacey. And with her back still to Andy, Joey freezes and listens to Andy going on about thinking she was over Pacey until she bumped into him just now and played it like they're friends. But everything he ever did flashed before her eyes. And isn't that the test of whether you're over someone? And if Joey tries to answer, we don't see it. And then Joey's walking through town with a Diet Coca-Cola when she runs into Dawson and babbles excuses for why she can't stay and talk. Dawson asks if she wants to do movie night. Joey doesn't think she'll be able to and vaguely suggests another time. Dawson finally asks if she's all right, and she babbles and backs away nervously and really went a long way because she passes a big, like, marker in town for something about North Carolina history, as you can see in the visual aids.
Yeah, it was a Confederate ironclad that, like, it was never declared seaworthy, and they finally, like, sank it, I think. Mm. And then someone, because this is how bitter enders always are, like, dredged it up and turned it into a roadside museum, I believe. I spent too much time on this. The point of the screen grab, which you will find in the visual aids, is to remind everyone that, like, there were 100 shot compositions of that they could have picked at this waterfront.
Yeah.
That did not involve reminding us that they're absolutely not in Massachusetts or even in the North.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, throw a tarp over it. No.
Yeah, you can't even say, like, well, this is from before people could pause TV. Like, okay, it's before may not even be before TiVo, actually. This might be in the TiVo era, but certainly there was VHS. Like, people were probably taping this and could pause it.
And the thing is in the foreground of the shot for a while, or I wouldn't have bothered, because why keep gigging them for this? But, like, it's like, on this spot, the Confederate steamship Carolina, like, oh, my God. Just be in North Carolina. Nope, not going to happen.
So Joey leaves a message for Pacey at Doug's telling him not to do what he said he was going to do today. Joey thinks she should be the one to tell him. And at Doug's, the light blinks, but we know what happens next, gum-wise. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Buzz. And then it's dark, and Joey is racing up the dock and climbing the ladder to Dawson's room. Inside, Dawson's watching The Last Picture Show, clip 8.
She is my girl. I don't care. We did break up. I didn't make no difference. I always live here. I'm getting her back. I'm telling you right now. She's going to marry me one of these days when I get a little bit more money. Sure she will.
I don't get it. Joey climbs in the window. Dawson mildly comments that she changed her mind. A new portrait of them by Gwen is on the wall behind her. And I watched these episodes back to back, and I went back and checked episode 19, was like, did she give him this one? Because she says in the episode, I need Dawson and Joey to help me with a special project, which I guess was her, like, painting them again for whatever this is in Dawson's room. But that's not the picture that she gives him in the episode, in the previous one. She gives him the original.
I felt like maybe there were two discrete ETE portraits of them, but I am not the one who went back and checked. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're both hideous.
In last week's episode, we only see one. We see the original of them as little kids with the heart.
That was my question.
Yeah, okay. No. That's what I went back and checked, because I was like, is this the one she hands him when she interrupts Joey's attempt to tell him about Pacey? But it's not.
Is this one any better?
No, they're both bad. You can see that individually.
Okay.
Anyway, for someone who thought Joey's affairs were none of her business, she sure is hammering on their connection if she, like, waited for them to leave and then mailed this to him. Like, Gwen, fucking stay out of it. Go to Ed. Anyway,
go to Ed. I was just going to say, find a bowling alley. Think about something else.
Dawson's face is unreadable as Joey asks if Pacey has been there. Dawson says he hasn't. Is he supposed to be? Joey says no and tries to act normal, asking what he's watching, and then remembers it's the movie they saw on their first date. He laughs that it wasn't exactly a successful evening, at least not in terms of the movie, since they never got to see the end. Clip 9.
So, how does it end, Dawson?
Well, it's the three friends that grew up with each other. Jeff Bridges is in love with Sybil Shepherd, and she dumps him and breaks his heart, and he's devastated. And she's not. she just kind of moves on to the other guy. And it destroys their friendship. And it's pretty much how it ends. Everyone alone, everyone hating each other. It's really depressing, actually. I don't know why I'm watching it.
I think I might know, actually.
Yeah. If you were, you know, like before you sort of know what he does or does not know, mm-hmm. It's like if you were introspective and self-absorbed, maybe you could have connected the dots with yourself about why you're watching that. And her expression in the scene, she's just like really turning on the twinkle, even though he's not even looking at her. And it's just really heartbreaking because it's like there is nothing you can do.
No.
To prevent the 11 story wave of resentment and self satisfaction that is about to crash on both of you.
Mm-hmm. They also, by the way, saw that movie in the season 2 premiere. And I have mm-hmm. to wonder, like, was this planned that far back? It can't have been, but can it? I mean, I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
It's impressive,
I mean,
if
just
so.
Because there's like, it's like putting a screen door in a submarine, basically, which maybe that's what happened to the CSS Carolina. Like, I can absolutely see that they worked backwards from this very direct, not even subtext mm-hmm. comp to Last Picture Show.
Yeah. But I'm just saying it's impressive to have. I guess it's not impressive if it's an accident, just a coincidence that they connected later. But maybe it was planned that long in advance. Someone had ideas. Anyway, flipped in.
So what do you want to talk about?
You know, I just remembered that I promised Bessie that I would help watch Alexander tonight, and she's probably waiting for me, so,
Sarah, your favorite.
Wow. Never mind. I mean, in this case, like, obviously he doesn't really end up accepting that, but, was she always this bad at all of this? I don't feel like she was.
Well, like every TV character is bad at lying. Like, yeah. That's a thing.
Mm.
She exits through the window and then we see her on the ground watching Pacey walk in. And that's when she stops him. But then we cut upstairs as we see Dawson hearing them talking, which means he must have the best hearing of any TV character ever, because usually you can't hear things that are happening on the other side of the room.
That are, yeah, 3 feet away. Yeah.
And he walks over to the window and we cut back to Joey and Pacey just before Dawson comes out and addresses them. And his face is quite readable now. Clip 11.
I'm sorry, man. We didn't want to tell you this way.
You didn't tell me.
You know, don't you?
I know.
I mean, we're about to get more, but I'll say this. He is so much better playing this kind of asshole than he is whatever Dawson is, like, on paper supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We've said it before, but it's true.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't aware that this is where it was going, but his nostrils are absolutely blotting out all light in the universe, and his hair is a literal set of butt cheeks.
Yeah.
It's almost too mean, even for me. Almost. Not quite, though.
Respawn! Marina. In this version, Dawson almost drops the champagne walking down the ramp. In the shed, Joey and Pacey agree about telling Dawson and then kiss a bunch more before she sheepishly tells Pacey he should go first and she'll catch up. So Pacey comes out and Dawson gives him the champagne. And this time we see Pacey looking ashamed at the gift before Joey comes around the corner. Pacey tells Dawson sparkling apple cider would have been fine, but Dawson says this is a monumental accomplishment. Pacey took something destined for the scrap heap and transformed it. Wow, rude way to talk about Joey. Just kidding. Jack tells Pacey to hurry up, and Pacey asks if Dawson will be home after this. He will until he has to go to work. So Pacey rushes to the boat and thanks Hurricane Chris for making it so affordable and everyone who pitched in on all the refurbishment. And he christens the true love looking straight at Joey, who drops her gaze as soon as Jen also looks back at her. And Dawson is happy for everyone at this point. At the library, Dawson spots Will and greets him quizzically, even though he just saw him at the dock. Will asks about some secret room Andy says is perfect for studying. Dawson guesses it's the genealogy room and can confirm, as a former reference library page, the one where I worked was not used very frequently. Will then asks what he and Joey did on their first date. Dawson tells him they went to the movies, which is a bad idea because you can't talk, but there's always the creek. It's a cliche because it actually is romantic, and Will can borrow Dawson's boat. Will asks what Dawson's doing tonight, and Dawson says he might hook up with an old friend. Over to the Ryan house, where Jen is studying with her boots up on the porch love seat, confirming to Henry that he really is not allowed inside the house. If he has to use the bathroom or the phone, or if Jen starts to choke and he has to call 911, Jen says they'll have to consult an etiquette book from 1955. He pounces on her with a kiss, letting his shirt ride up so we can see his wallet chain. Oh. It is the year 2000.
Unbearable.
Yup. Then Jen sees Dawson coming toward her and quickly sends Henry inside. Dawson offers to come back, but clip 12.
Oh, God. No, no. I was expecting that you'd come by anyway.
Jen, no!
I know.
Dawson, again, as we keep saying, so self-involved, he doesn't seem to get anything under that, but also doesn't ask. And clip 13.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You know, if you want to just come inside and hang out with Henry and I, we could use a chaperone.
Well, as tempting as that sounds, I think I'm just going to go watch a movie, relive better days.
I know this must seem like the hardest thing in the world right now, but you know what? In the long run, it's better that Pacey told you.
Told me what? Tell me what?
Nothing.
If it's nothing, then why are you so concerned about me?
No, I wasn't concerned. I was thinking
that... Yes, you were. You were concerned. You were concerned because you assumed that Pacey told me something. Told me what, Jen? Okay, you know, the fact that you're unwilling to answer my question speaks volumes. Has to do with Joey, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it?
God, I'm so sorry.
You've known about this?
Dawson, it wasn't my place to say anything. All right, I didn't want to interfere. I wanted to protect you.
Dawson, wait, stop. Say something, please.
I'm fine, all right? I'm fine.
No.
I'm fine.
No, you are not fine. Dawson, what can I say? What can I do?
You can do me the same favor that you did them. You can keep this to yourself, all right? Thanks for protecting me.
Oh, boy. Jen.
Yeah, what an ass. But it is at this point that she needs to run back in the house and start calling all over town to find the other two and be like, just leave town, change your names, find a volcano, jump in it, throw mm-hmm. him in it. Like, I really feel like it is on her to warn them.
Yeah.
That Nostrils McGee is going to be on the rampage, but
yep.
Doesn't happen.
I assume we're supposed to assume that she tried to call, but that's why the answering machine was broken also, like to prevent her from leaving a message, but they don't specify that in the storyline either.
No. That's smart. I think you're right.
So Dawson flops onto his bed and glares, and by nightfall, we rejoin Dawson at a slightly earlier point in the last picture show, clip 14.
I thought you'd do me that way. I thought we were still best friends.
We are. What you so mad for? I never done that to you.
Well, I guess screwing my girl ain't nothing to you.
Ain't screwing her.
Yeah, I mean, wait.
Boy. That's when Joey enters. And I thought we were going to get an explanation in Dawson's part of the story for the new Gwen painting. But no, it's just there being weird and unexplained. And now that we know he knows, I can't believe the Dawson that we've seen prior to this episode could be such a good liar to not let on to Joey.
Yeah, this is sort of what I was saying before.
Yeah,
like, I just don't think he has that kind of self-control.
Mm-hmm. And as he watches her slip out, we stay on his face as it falls. And then downstairs, we see from his POV as Pacey and Joey clasp hands, and then he announces himself. And after he confirms that he knows, clip 15.
So were you planning on telling me, or was this just going to be a secret fling?
Look, it's not like that.
But how was it, Joey? Because Jen was a little short on details.
She told you?
Well, she thought I knew. I mean, I have to be pretty freaking stupid not to know, right? That the two people I trusted most in the world were lying to me?
Yeah.
So are you bored, are you confused, or just malicious?
Hey, look, I started this thing, okay? If you're going to get angry at somebody, you get angry at me. It's not.
I don't think you're in any position to talk about what's fair. You were my best friend.
I still am.
If finding that a little hard to process right now.
It's the truth, Dawson.
So I guess it's safe to assume that friendship doesn't come above sex in your list of personal priorities.
This has nothing to do with sex.
Oh, what are you, in love? Is that what this is? Don't look at her, all right? You know what, Pacey? I feel sorry for you. Because when all this is over, you're really going to need your friends, and you're not going to have any. You are not going to have a single one.
This is the best he's ever been. I'm telling you. Like, he's so chilling.
Absolutely loathsome. Mm-hmm. Such a fucking priggish asshole. And really, really good. And there are times when it's sort of hard to accept that these people would just, like, put up with him, put him at the center of their universes, like, show title aside.
Uh-huh.
That for them to be this afraid of hurting him and of his disapproval tends to read us more like everyone's in an abusive relationship with Dawson, including like the writers and the network.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how he chooses to play this scene makes that like sort of dimensionalizes that in a way that actually works. That it's like, okay, now we can actually loathe him instead of just rolling our eyes all the time.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Agree. That's when Will shows up with Andy to return the boat and clip 16.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Why don't you ask Pacey? Ask him how long he and Joey have been sneaking around behind my back. Or better yet, ask Joey. Ask her how long she has been lying to me and to you. Go ahead, ask him, because I can't stand and look at him.
Oh no, Dawson doesn't want to look at us. Rats?
Yeah. You're just a virgin who can't drive.
So after the commercial, we don't go all the way back to the beginning. We pick up at Jen's as Dawson is storming out. This is before cell phones, as we've now been reminded with two separate payphone calls in this episode. So Jen can't call or text Joey to warn her. Better time in some ways, in other ways like this, worse. Henry comes back out to try to resume canoodling, but Jen tells him what just happened. He says she didn't mean to do it, but she won't be comforted. When he tries to shut her up by kissing her again, she gets pissed and he tries again and justifiably it becomes a fight. Clip 17.
What did I do that was so terrible?
Don't you even want to know what just happened?
Maybe I don't. Maybe for once I want to put us before whatever little mini drama you and your friends have whipped up this week.
Okay. You know what? Why don't you leave? I'm not kidding. Leave.
Now you're being irrational.
No, just irritated. Irrational is when I get violent, which is going to happen in 2 seconds if you don't get your horny freshman ass out of here.
Okay, but he had a point.
I mean, thank you, Team Henry. Sorry. Like, maybe don't kiss her to shut her up, because that's bogue. But
yeah,
if Dawson is at the center of the story, I don't want to fucking hear it either if I'm trying to make out with Jen.
Seriously. Later, Will and Andy are out in Dawson's boat, boringly flirting. He brings up Orpheus and Eurydice, and for some reason we're supposed to think this is a story Andy, of all people, does not know. Like, she wouldn't have been drilling on the Greek myths for her PSAT 3 months ago.
Hello.
Whatever. He tells it like a teacher trying way too hard to be cool. Clip 18.
They were a couple of kids totally in love. But then she died. Snake bite. He couldn't deal, so being the ancient world's most kick-ass musician, he goes to the underworld, located the proper authorities, and played for them. All about Eurydice. And how he had to have her back.
And what happens?
It worked. But there was one condition. He wasn't allowed to look at her until they were back in the real world. So they sat out. As they were just about to make it, he looked back.
So she died all over again?
He went to grab for her, and all he got was air.
I relate. I feel like that's all I'm getting out of this scene. It's so cringe. And I know I said it last time, he's so much less charismatic than AJ. And that's crazy to say.
I know. Now you understand why we both, your co-hosts both were like, oh, wait, that's a different guy.
Right.
Oof.
So when Dawson storms back inside, Joey runs after him, leaving Pacey alone as Andy asks him if it's true. He says it is. Getting upset, Andy says she doesn't know what to say. Pacey doesn't either. Clip 19.
You must really, you know, to give up your friendship with Dawson, to give up everything. God, how could you be so stupid, Pacey? You know you're gonna get hurt. She is never going to love you like she loves him, okay? He is her first love, Pacey, her first love.
We get it! It's sad for Andy. This is really a bummer.
Yeah. Although, she's not making a bad point, at least vis-a-vis, like, you're never going to be untangled from this idiot's, like, you know, coercive control, but, like,
with
the bumpers, mm-hmm. with the bumpers up.
I don't think we're supposed to think that's the point she's making. I think we're supposed to think
it definitely Yeah, it definitely isn't, but accidentally, she's sort of pointing out that it's like, yeah, Pacey, I'm not sure how you thought this was going to go when everyone in the entire town is obsessed with, you know, assuaging Dawson's Dawsoning.
Meanwhile, Andy's date, Will, has to just stand there uselessly while this is all going on. And then he just kind of like shrugs and
ivy.
Drifts away. Good. Upstairs, the fight continues. Clip 20.
I didn't intend for this to happen, Dawson. No,
what
any
you
of
intended
this
does not provide me any solace. What do you love him? Are you just want to sleep with him?
How could you say that?
What he's going to expect?
We're not together, Dawson, and we haven't been for a long time. Almost a whole year has gone.
Well, I'm not punishing you because I didn't want to get back together with you.
Why would you think that I would do that?
Why? Because you keep on saying that you want to go find yourself. Is this what you've been looking for the whole time? Is Pacey what you've been looking for?
No.
Then explain it to me. Explain to me how two people who can barely stand to be in the same room with each other end up outside my window arguing about the future of their relationship.
I can't, okay? I can't explain it. It happened. Everything between you and me is so complicated.
If things between us are complicated, it's because you made them that way, okay? And you think that whatever was wrong when you were with me is going to magically get better when you're with him?
I don't know, Dawson. I don't know, okay? I just know that I need him.
Yeah, you do.
Bye, bitch.
But, of course, that doesn't end the conversation. Clip 21.
No.
Do you need him like you need me? Joey, it's a simple question. Do you need him like you need me?
But you can't do that, Dawson. You can't. Those two things have nothing to do with each other, and you know that the way that I feel about him is completely separate from the way that I feel about you and our friendship.
Friendship, Joey. Right now, we don't have a friendship.
We
don't have a friendship right now. So this moment, we do not have a friendship.
That is not
you
fair.
Can't have both of us. You can't have him as your boyfriend and me as your consolation prize. You're going to have to make a choice. And I tell you right now, if you choose him, I'm not going to be able to pick up the pieces when it all falls apart. This ruins everything. There's no going back.
Okay. What do you want me to say, Dawson? Tell me what you want to say. What do you want to hear?
I don't want you to say anything. I want you to leave.
Bye! He gave you the out. Take it.
Way to make the decision for her. Mm-hmm. Also, even you are not so self-absorbed that you can't realize if they make you make a decision, then you always choose not him because this is what this looks like. Ugh.
But I mean, it's hideous. It is hateful. It is believably teenagery, though. It's the most teenagery he's ever been.
Yeah.
So later, Dawson holds his head sitting in the window. Jen comes to the door and comments that it was a hell of a day. He doesn't want to rewind it and live it again, if that's what she means. Har har. She says he shouldn't be alone right now, but he is alone, he says. He might as well get used to it. Jen breathily tells him not to say that. He whines about why she didn't tell him. She says that if two people are on a crash course for each other and you throw yourself in between, it'll only bring them closer. Also, it wasn't her place. Like, that's not her job. She's also their friend.
Yeah.
He has to let things run their course, she says, and for Joey to decide what she really wants, which is kind of rude since she knows what Joey wants. And it's not Dawson. But he says he can't let her go. But Jen asks what else he can do. He says, you can fight for what you want. And she just touches his knee and doesn't say, no, you can't. And doesn't also add, that's what Joey thought. And you told her to get lost when she took her shirt off and you gave it back.
Yeah. And doesn't add, that's a felony in most states. Like, oh, God.
So Joey finds Pacey at the marina. They look at each other miserably. She asks if he's ever had one of those days he wishes he could live all over again, asking for what I hope is the last time. He has. So has she. What would she have done differently, he asks. Everything or nothing. They would still end up back here, and she doesn't think she knows where that is. He says it's right where they started. She says the true love looks beautiful in the water. He says he still doesn't know if she is seaworthy, which, like, she's been floating this whole time. I'm not a boatsman, but that seems like a clue. But anyway, Joey says she looks solid.
Yeah, right.
Pacey doesn't know. He thinks he sees stormy weather ahead. We can get it. But then, anyway, last clip, 22.
Pacey.
It's over, isn't it?
It has to be.
Maybe you should both tell Dawson to fuck off. How about that? What do you mean it has to be? No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Joey looks back, but he's already gone, and that's where we leave them. We got through it. Wow.
No. Yeah.
That's a tough one. Tough one.
Yep.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, especially given the forcible kissing, but Henry talking about his Jen's friend's little mini drama. He's right.
Yeah. I am tempted to go with either Jack or Grams for like picking up a paycheck and having one line and then peacing out before all this bullshit like drowned the entire town.
Uh-huh.
But I'm actually going to go with Joshua Jackson, who, especially in that last scene, like, there are a number of times when you can see that Pacey sees that this is all just going to, like, the best he can hope for is wishing he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he really does more than he has to, and it's kind of the only thing that made this interesting
yeah.
at the time. So, kudos. Kudos.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fuckboat, good for you.
Least valuable player. With all due respect to James Vanderbeek's performance, because I would say he's also in the conversation for winner
yes.
of the week, but Dawson, fuck off. Fuck all the way off.
Yeah. Dishonorable mention, Joey.
Mm.
Just tell him to kick rocks.
Yeah. Please.
No. Next time on Again With This, great news, guys. Dawson's had some time to think it over, and while he's hurt, he's trying his best to be gracious to his oldest friends. No, obviously he's being self-righteous shitwagon and turning the Cape Side Regatta into a dick-measuring contest. Elsewhere, Jen and Henry things happen, and Mitch and Gail things also happen, but nobody cares, so let's move on. To our visual aids. We've done them for every single episode of this podcast, and you will find them at againwiththispodcast.com. You'll also find a complete archive of our recap episodes there, againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. And please do not forget that you can call or text us anytime, but especially now, 210-767-2237, and you should. We have a call-in episode coming up. There is very literally no better time than to drop some would-you-rathers on us from all over the Starverse and Capeside. Get creative, horrify and delight us. It is why we are here. I am substandard ironclad on the wrong side of history, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is captive rowboat audience Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, was expecting that you'd come by anyway. Talk to you next time.
Did you think of us while you were on hiatus?
Nostrils McGee is going to be on the rampage, but...
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.